Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed, welcome to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoor Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. It is a holiday weekend, kind of, and it is a packed house in the studio today. Thank you so much for being here. I am Tony Colombo. Producer Leah is here. Of course, my partner, Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, is here.
Good to be back.
And we have Mike Marfell.
Oh, yo.
Coming off a big weekend.
Big top 10 finish, yes, sir.
Can't wait to talk about the tournament last weekend.
I can almost call myself a professional fisherman.
Oh, man. Some of those pictures were absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And we have a very special guest in studio, Mark. You do the introductions.
This is my wife, Felicia, who I met at the bait shop. So
yes.
Nice.
Great to see you, Felicia.
Welcome to the studio, babe.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, thank you so much for being in here. This is the first time you've been in the studio while we've recorded the show. You've been around. When we come out to your events, the various tournaments and things like that, we see you around. But first time in the studio. Thank you for being here. Great to see you. Yeah, lots to talk about. It's not technically, I guess, a holiday weekend with the 4th of July being on Tuesday, but a lot of folks, taking Monday off and trying to extend the weekend. So it's going to be a big weekend at the Lake of the Ozarks and other places around the area. Mark, what's been the impact at the shop this week? People getting ready for a holiday weekend like this?
Yeah, people definitely are. You can tell there's a lot of people going to be heading out of town just because they're coming in and getting tackle, and then we just stopped in there, and Butch been real busy the last couple of days, so yep, they're heading out
at Lake of the Ozarks and obviously the other sort of vacation destinations around the area. It's Memorial Day and Labor Day weekend are big ones. Is that the case for you at Bluff City, and does the 4th of July holiday compare to those other ones?
It's real similar, especially if it falls on a Monday or Friday.
Yeah.
But with it being a Tuesday, so many people are making it a 4-day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Of us made it a 5.
Perfect excuse.
So I'm thinking we're probably going to be pretty busy Monday and Tuesday. So
we will be all shows here on News Talk STL will be live. Our bosses don't let us off on the 3rd. So we'll all be here on Monday. Just a little programming note here on News Talk STL. Mike, before we get into Mike had a big tournament over last weekend that we're going to get into some of the details as we go through the show here. But just thinking about the holiday weekend, particularly on a body of water like the Lake of the Ozarks, where you spend so much time outside the fishing, obviously, there's a lot of things when a lake is busy like it's going to be this weekend that you need to also keep an eye on. Can you just kind of talk about that a little bit, like some of the safety tips and things like that?
Just be so careful. I mean, honestly, I just told Mark my fishing report for Lake of the Ozarks is don't go this weekend. Set it PB2 with a 12-pack and watch people try to put their boats in the water.
Yeah.
There's going to be so many boats out.
No.
And, it's just whoever's driving, don't let them drink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was just telling these guys, it's the most dangerous waterway in North America, more deaths than any other waterway in North America, which is shocking. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly self-inflicted.
So I will be at the Lake of the Ozarks this weekend. So as you're listening to this, hopefully it will be.
Have your toes in the water right now.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be doing a little fishing as you're hearing this. I don't know if I'll.
And you can get on early, get off early.
Well, I'm lucky enough. And if you are at the Lake of the Ozarks or another lake or, a body of water that is going to be experiencing a lot of traffic. If you're lucky enough to be in a cove or have access to a cove, our cove is huge.
And it's
so,
and a big portion of it's no wake.
And a big portion of it is no wake. So I will be able to go out a little bit, but I was just going to say, I doubt I even turn the main
motor on.
Yeah. It'll be nothing but trolling around around the cove because it's just not worth it.
Idle across in the wake section to get to the other part of your cove. That'd be about it.
Yeah. Mark, you particularly out there at Bluff City, you work real closely with a lot of the catfish guides that work primarily on the Mississippi and Missouri.
Mississippi and the Missouri.
Yeah. Is there a similar situation on the rivers as far as like pleasure boat, like on a weekend like this, like double time traffic, or is the river so massive that it's kind of different story?
It doesn't get like Lake of the Ozarks, mm-hmm. but I mean, there's a fair amount of pleasure boats up in the Alton Pool. Mm-hmm. But if you're on the Missouri River and down from the Alton Dam, there's not a lot of pleasure craft out there.
No.
It's just, the rivers are narrow, they're fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really not pleasure boat
friendly.
The most pleasure boats are probably right there where the Illinois and Mississippi come together, using the sandbars to beach their boats and get out.
Mm-hmm.
And
up there by
do
craft.
Whatever.
Does the traffic have, I mean, obviously it impacts the fishing from a traffic standpoint, a safety standpoint, maybe even an access standpoint, like just getting to places that you
getting
wouldn't
from A
otherwise
to B is difficult,
be
yes.
able to get to. But does all of the traffic, all of the wake, does it affect anything under the water
it can actually help.
Yeah.
If you don't have any wind, those waves crashing on the wave breaks in the docks.
Yeah.
It's just like making your own wind.
When I'm
Lake of the Ozarks, they're so used to that. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bother them. Now, if you were to suddenly introduce an outboard to a electric only lake, like say down at Lake Murfreesboro or something, yeah, that would affect it. Mm-hmm. That would freak them out for the first time. They've never heard it,
mm-hmm.
but they've heard everything at Lake of the Ozarks.
So actually, that's a great point. Let's start there. What you just said is exactly something that for years I have been, you wait for it. If I'm down there and I'm not able to get out on the water, but I'm fishing off the docks or, you know, off the bank, if all of a sudden... And, you know, a lot of times it comes from so far away or it's so delayed.
You never heard
that
boat.
You never even realize it's about to happen. But all of a sudden, the wake starts crashing up against the bank. And as soon as that happens, I scramble to cast as many times as I can while that's happening. What's the reason for it? And then what is the best way to take advantage of that? Because, you know, a lot of times you only have a few seconds. So
yeah, well, I'm thinking Mark will probably back me up on this. On a rocky lake like that, you start banging crawfish loose from the rocks when those big waves start rolling.
Mm-hmm.
On.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime bait comes out and makes itself seen, predators are going to get frisky.
Yeah.
That's just it. I mean, that's my opinion. I'm not a biologist, but you know, I've caught some. I've been sitting there fishing a stretch of bank at Kincaid. I remember one time, and I looked up, and here come the flotilla that was coming to go up to the Party Cove. I hadn't had a bite, and they all went by, and I just caught fish, like 8 fish on 10 consecutive casts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because it jarred the crawfish loose.
Yeah,
crawfish they can hang to stuff, but they're not like a. They're not like a spider. They really
can't stick. They don't use their claws to hold on.
Yeah. Right. So when those come crashing in, they just get
washed out.
And the fish know that that's going to happen when they feel that same wake, so they're ready to eat.
And they're ready.
Yeah.
So in that case, is the fish typically then in this specific scenario, are they looking for, because you want to obviously match the lure, the retrieve to, you know, whatever they're looking at. So they're looking, they're not looking at the wake to push the bait into the bank at them. They're looking for it to come off the bank because of it. So they're looking at the bank.
It's kind of the opposite of wind in that respect.
Yeah.
The wind's pushing the bait up against the bank.
So you want to get in front of that and pull it off the bank.
Yeah. You're always best to cast past your target anyway, mm-hmm. and then bring it. So if you threw it up super shallow, then it looks like yours is getting washed out too.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think you have to fish across. I mean, they're opportunistic. So if you throw a topwater at that time, they might bite it too. You know?
Yeah.
It just makes them active.
Right.
Basically.
Right. Yeah. If you see it.
Yeah.
And you're standing there, make sure you
cast at.
Make sure you cast when that's happening. Because
and the same way with the wave breaks, I think that does knock a lot of the minnows. You know, just kind of stirs everything up on those wave breaks.
Yeah.
You know?
What
just
else?
Orient them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you, it could be similar to that or just, you know, anything else that happens naturally or
shade lines.
Yeah. Like what are you looking for when you're looking for a spot or like a moment to cast?
Something different. Like I said, like a shade line would be perfect. A dark spot on the bottom. That's either going to be a little hole or a heart or a stump or just anything to be in where you think a fish could hide. And this last weekend at Table Rock, it blew my mind in practice that I was fishing in crystal clear water that you could see down 10 feet, and I would cast in 8 inches of water, and my line would just take off sideways. And how do you not see that bass up there? That's just how good they are at hiding. Blending into the bottom, blending into the little bush. I mean, it was a stick.
Looked like another rock.
Yeah.
In the distance. You know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Anything happening this time of year now that we've kind of, you know, we're totally past the spring and the spawn and all of that stuff? Does is there a change in what people are using, Mark, this time of year? Do you notice anything at the shop? Like there's a shift from sort of one phase of the
you're starting to see a lot of 7 and 10 inch power bait, you know, Zoom low monster worms.
Yeah, the 12 inch.
They moved
worm,
to that. They moved to that, and then more top water.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, just, that's fun fishing. Yeah, too.
How what you think we're about to well, where water temperature is going to be at the Lake of the Ozarks other places?
Yeah, it'll get a little warmer yet, but
yeah.
Me and Mark were just talking before we started recording that the fishing reports aren't going to change much until the fall.
Right, yeah.
It'll stay the same.
We'll have that fishing report as we do each and every week for you here in just a little bit. But to kind of preview that, what is right now, this time of year, what are your go-to lures when you're going out?
Mark just mentioned it, a 12-inch worm,
a
10-inch shaky head, a top water, and a big jig.
Yeah.
And sometimes I like that. It's kind of weird. But I'll take a 5/8 or 3/4 ounce football jig, and I'll put a 10-inch worm on the back of it.
Large selections of all the above in different shapes, sizes.
Got all that stuff.
The power bait still as popular as ever.
Power
bait
still as popular as ever. It's
the greatest.
It's like it hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
It stayed the same. It's very popular. I mean, it's Berkeley's tried so many different baits. But they haven't come up with anything that matches the original 7 and 10.
I think that gulp works really well, too, but it dries out so quickly.
Dries out, yeah.
But the Berkeley, I mean, I used to come down before Mark even owned the shop and get bulk 100 packs of the Berkeley worm, the Berkeley 10-inch power worm.
Mm-hmm.
At Mark Twain, back in the day, it was the Tequila Sunrise was the big, it all cycles through, right?
I mean, some colors.
Motor oil never goes away.
Never go. Red shad.
Yeah. Red shad, green pumpkin.
Green pumpkin, watermelon,
black
red.
Black and blue.
Yeah, black and blue. There's just colors.
Yeah, this.
So you can listen to this show any day you want if you are subscribed to our podcast, which you can find the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast just about on every podcast platform. We put every week's show out shortly after we get off the air as a podcast. But if you're listening on News Talk STL, it's either Saturday morning at 11 or it's Sunday at noon. Either way, it's July. Mark, I don't know, are you as surprised as I, it just doesn't feel like it should be July.
No.
Or it shouldn't. 2023 is halfway over.
Yes, halfway over today.
It doesn't feel.
Flies by.
And it's closer to Christmas than New Year's.
Yeah,
isn't it crazy?
I know it is. It is crazy. And we're going to continue the conversation about fishing. Particularly, I want to talk to Mike about that tournament that he was in last weekend, and get you guys the fishing report in a few minutes. But with getting later in the year, it's also a good time to remind you, and I know this is already happening at Bluff City Outdoors, a lot of guys are preparing for bow season and archery season.
That's picking up. We're getting a lot of bows and crossbows dropped off for new strings and tuning. And it really started picking up about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a fairly new thing. So keep that in mind. This is the second season that people and really the first
full season
that people will be able to take advantage of the new expansion out there at Bluff City Outdoors. You can shoot every single day if you don't want to wait for archery season. You can shoot every day in the archery there at Bluff City Outdoors. You can take advantage of the state-of-the-art Techno Hunt system as well, and the best bow tech, and now two full-time bow techs.
To be starting full-time next week.
Yeah, handle all your needs and leagues.
Leagues are getting ready to form, so if you're interested, check out the Facebook page, contact us, send a Facebook message. That's the easiest way.
Yeah.
And, they're getting ready to start those. Techno Hunt League, 3D Target League, and a Traditional League. League's going to be on Friday, I know that.
What if you just want to come down and rent a lane, Mark? You just call?
You don't even have to call. You just show up. I mean, last week on, I think it was Friday, it might have been Saturday, I did a Facebook post, took some pictures of the archery range, and we just got a ton of stuff in. posted. I said, hey, you know, our shooting lanes, I said, boat techs aren't here all the time, but you can come in and shoot it, you know, 7 o'clock on Saturday or Sunday. Next day, I had a group of people in there at 7:05.
Wow, that's
and, you
awesome.
Know, they saw the post and just go, well, we haven't been here before, so let's come down. And they were there about 2 hours shooting.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've been talking about it a lot, obviously, because it's been such a big deal out there at Bluff City Outdoors, this expansion and this archery range and the techno hunt system. But new listeners every week here to the Bluff City Outdoors show. So it's good to remind folks about all the new stuff that you can take advantage of at Bluff City Outdoors, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's there in Alden, Illinois. And for decades, Mike, as you can attest to, your go-to place to prepare for your next fishing trip.
But absolutely.
Now, but now so much more.
So much better than it was 20 years ago, for sure.
We're gonna be promoting the Alden Catfish Classic.
Oh, yeah.
It's July.
Yep. Just had
we're getting close. I can't believe it, how fast time flies.
I think we're at 87 boats right now.
Yeah.
And we'll start really pushing it and trying to get that last group to get it to 100.
Yeah. And that will happen. So if you want to get in that tournament, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. Alden Catfish Classic on Facebook.
Yeah.
Send a message to that page. That's the easiest because either myself or Alex will respond to it.
Yeah.
Weigh in at the amphitheater again?
Yep. Weigh in at the amphitheater.
Nice. Yeah. I can't believe it, but that's right around the corner.
Yeah, 2 months.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. All right. As I mentioned, we will get into, we'll get you this week's fishing report, and we want to hear about the tournament. What tournament was it?
Oak Outdoor Solo Pro.
And Mike Marfell finished?
Ninth.
Top 10, ninth. That's cool.
Ninth after the first day, and I stayed in ninth.
And there are some cool pictures out there. That reminds me, as sometimes I go out on the water and you have one of those days and you're like, man, I have figured this thing out. And then you see guys like Mike and what they do on a regular basis.
Well, the guy that got first, was his pictures were probably way cooler than mine. But
they remind you that there's a whole nother level that this you guys are on. So, yeah, great stuff. So we will get into all of that and more in just a moment here on Bluff City Outdoors. We'll on 101.9 and 94.1.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Hey, everybody, I think the time is right.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo in studio with producer Leah, Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Felicia McMurray is our special guest in studio.
She's a special guest.
Also, and Mike Marfell, professional fisherman with us. And
I'm special in a different way.
Buddy, you are. You're special in so many ways. In my heart, certainly. So big weekend for you. Where could people see that picture? We've been bragging about those pictures of Mike. We'll have to post those. I'll put one on my Twitter, at Tony Colombo Talk. For you to check out. Mike had a big weekend this past weekend in the...
You can go to Oak Outdoors Facebook page and find him too. Not just mine, but some of these other guys with big smiling faces as well.
Yeah, but this was some of the big boys out there. And
yes, it was.
You finished in the top 10. Tell us about the tournament and tell us about the experience and the success.
Well, first of all, it's one of the best run tournaments. I love the format. It's 2 days. You fish by yourself. No Alabama rig. No multi.
Oh.
Yeah. No. So that's.
Alabama rig is banned in this tournament?
Correct. And it's JP Sell puts it on. It used to be Mike Webb. It was Central Pro Am, and then it was Webb Outdoors. But they're trying to keep this solo elite 100. They invited 100 of us. I think we have. It's weird. Guys wanted to summertime tournaments, and then they come and they're like, "It's hot. Why we haven't?" You know, you can't keep that many people happy. It's just the way it is. But I went down there and stayed with Matt Ells, who owed me one. He said, because I clued him in on how to win the BFL Super at Lake of the Ozarks last fall. And it's funny, me and him, when we fished solo stuff back in 2010, 2011, I didn't know him. He was from Mount Vernon, Missouri. I was from Alton, Illinois. In practice, we just kept running into each other. I mean, everywhere, every tournament, we'd end up, and he was like, we keep running into each other. It's like, yeah, dude, I'm from Illinois. I don't know the lake, so I don't go far. You know, right. I figured there's fish here, you know. So he let me stay with him, and I was worried because I'd never been there in June, and I went in practice. These guys are all talking about spooning the docks over 90 feet, throwing back underneath the boat listens, watching them on live scope and watching them bite it. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm from Illinois. I'm going to go shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was catching them in 6 to 8 inches of water, just going down the bank. I talked to those guys halfway through the day. I can't get bit. If I do, it's short. I'm like, I ain't caught anything under 17 inches. You know, it's, and then I went out and looked deep on brush. Like when I say deep at Table Rock, it's relative. So 30 feet, which is not really deep at Table Rock, but it's deep if you're from Illinois.
Yeah, it's deep up here. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found some fish in there. And this is the cool thing, Mark, Tony. I caught really nice spots in there on Wednesday, Kentucky bass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and usually where there's one of those, there's 30. You know, it's not like this time of year. So I left that alone, went and found another brush pile, kind of did the same thing. So I got all right, I got some place to start. I went back to that same brush pile on Friday just to check it. Never got a bite.
Hmm.
Don't have live scope to peek in there and see if they're still there, but did not get a bite. Long story short, first day of the tournament, I run to that spot, and right off the bat, I catch like a 3.5-pound largemouth, which I hadn't caught a single large. I proceeded to catch 5 largemouth in about 25 minutes. All of to the tune of about 15 pounds, called once. Now get this. Right as I went to call, I remember what Matt, the guy I'm staying with, he's local. In this time of year, if you're catching them out of brush, get on your trolling motor as on high and run as far away from that brush pile and throw it like a football. Get it as far away from that brush. And right as I let it off the call tag nice and soft, I thought, oh, never got another bite out of that.
Yeah.
Brush pile. He went right back down there shaking like a leaf.
Yep.
And which then I thought to myself, I've got a limit. That's a good thing.
Right.
Somebody else pulls up on here, they're not going to catch him. So I ran all the way back because boat traffic.
You justified it.
In my mind. I ran all the way back the other end of the lake, and I caught another deep brush pile. I caught Bam Bam. I culled 2 fish out there with the big smallmouth that was in the picture. And so now I'm like, well, I got 2 spots. It's, you know. 2 spots I can rotate through, 1 far away, 1 close.
So first question, and I'll probably interrupt you as you tell the story multiple times here, but that's something that we've all encountered, a spot that has been red hot one day and ice cold the next, seemingly for no reason. How long do you wait? How long do you give a spot like that before you say it's time to move on?
45 minutes, but then I'll come back in an hour and check it again.
Mm-hmm, okay.
I won't go far away from it because it's a timing thing.
Yeah.
And what I think happened there, Mark, is the largemouth moved in and chased those spotted bass out of there. They were probably coming in. It's a core brush pile. Is that core? It's a core brush pile. So it's hardwoods. So it's real easy. It's not real easy, but if you fish a jig a lot, you can just slowly crawl it through there and not get hung up a lot. But yeah, I would leave it and come back and check it.
Gotcha. And I know Table Rock, you fished there before, but it's not.
Never in June. Never been there in June.
Yeah, and it's not
almost
like
July,
that
really.
you're super familiar with, like Lake of the Ozarks.
Right,
So how does that change?
I've been on it 5th. I tried to guesstimate that because I knew you'd ask.
Yeah.
I'm guessing if I go down there, it's a minimum of 3 to 4 days. And I'm guessing I'd go there once a year, sometimes twice. So 1.5 times a year over the last, I came up with a number of like 55 to 60 times I've been days on that lake.
Right, right.
And
none of them in June. So having that unfamiliarity, how does
advantage.
That change?
It's an advantage, I think. Okay. I think. Because I'm doing something different. That all the locals were doing, their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not all, but a big percentage was out spooning and chasing individual fish with live scope and fishing over 90 feet. And that's great, but they're not all there,
Yeah.
So
familiarity can sometimes create bad habits or overconfidence in some spots.
Yeah, I mean, I've known pros at the highest level that they delete their waypoints every year, just so that. And me and Brian Snowden, who was in this tournament, lives on the Table Rock and was in Elite Series Pro on tour for 23 years, and he said that he looks back at his 23 years on the Elite Series. some lakes, he was the best he ever did at that lake was the first time he was there, and it progressively got worse because he was fishing history and not fishing where the fish were at the time.
Yeah.
So
day one, you
end up
in ninth, and you stayed in ninth. When you have a great first day like that, and you're in the top 10, does that change your approach on day two? Are you less aggressive and more protective?
No, or? I was swinging, boy. Yeah. I was
going for the fence.
I was wanting to make sure I made a chance.
Is there any difference?
Can't win on day one, but you can lose.
Right. And your approach, does your standing in day one have any impact on how you fish on day two?
Oh, it shouldn't. Just go try to catch the five biggest you can.
Yeah.
Day one's a little different because you might want to leave something for tomorrow. You don't want to sit there and cull out of the same brush pile all day. That's why when I got that limit, threw it back and it didn't bot, I justified it in, oh, leave them alone, let them rest.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what happened on day two. I go back, first cast a smallmouth out of that same brush pile. And that was the only fish I caught out of that brush pile. I went around different areas up shallow by that brush pile, and I caught two more largemouth. Went back to that brush pile about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, fished it, never got another bite. Left and went back down closer to the boat ramp on the ones that I caught the big smallmouth. And I finished my limit there. I culled once, and I was up to whatever I weighed in, which was like right at 13 and a half pounds. Last hour mark, I went back. I left it. I came back to it with an hour left to go. I jumped 2 over 5 off. So it would have been about, I had 2 15-inchers. It would have been about a 6-pound upgrade total, which would have pushed me into like second or third.
Mm.
And here's what I did wrong. It was all 100% me. I just got back to, I just told you I didn't fish there in June.
Mm-hmm.
Water's 85 degrees, and I was in 30 feet of water, and I came out of my shoes when those fish bit, just set the hook on them and just cranked them out of that brush pile. And I should have just, after I got them up and out, I should have just slowly reeled them in. I angered them, basically. Mm. I kept jerking on them, trying to get them in the boat because I was all jacked up and all excited. And it came up one time way out there with that 5/8-ounce football, watching him shake, went back down. And then at that point, I realized, oh, crap, but it's too late.
Yeah.
And he came up one more time, and then the third time right by the boat.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, he'd wallowed that 5/8-ounce football jig enough. And the Jewel jig's great, but it's got a very thin wired hook. So once it starts wallering it, it'll slide out of that hole pretty easy. And I lost two that size. But here's the tip. Hit them hard, get them out of the brush, and then just barely – just act like you don't – just reel. Just reel nice and slow. Keep
real
pressure
casual.
Up. Real casual, exactly. I mean, because it'll give them time to – they expect a little resistance.
Yeah.
They don't expect me tugging on them like I was. I mean, mm-hmm. I was just hammering on them,
mm-hmm.
and that was my mistake. And,
mm-hmm. and, you know, Mark, when people hear stories like this and, you know, we talk about tournaments like this one and like the Alton Catfish Classic, you know, you start to realize why we've seen an uptick in the fishing industry and continue to see that this is fun.
Yeah, people love you
go out.
It's exciting.
And for a lot of folks, you know, you fished as a kid and you haven't done it in a while and you hear a story like that and you remember why you loved fishing as a kid and now you want to get back into it. Or if you've never experienced it, you go out in the water and you have a day like that. You're, no pun intended, but you're hooked.
You're hooked. You get hooked on it, you know. And I think we're like with the catfishing, with the guides and stuff, because, you know, go back 20 years ago, there was hardly anybody in the area doing that. Now Ryan Casey, I think he's got 5 boats working
for somebody him. To teach you how to do it right, you know, makes a difference.
But And then you build up the clients, you know. And, you know, it used to be if you wanted a big fish, you're either going to the Great Lakes or you're going saltwater.
Yeah.
And then just the catfish were just overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And now people realize that I can catch 50, 60-pound, 100-pound fish and not have to drive over 2 hours, you know, or whatever.
They tug hard, too.
And they tug hard, too.
We haven't had our 100-pound fish in 2023 yet.
Yeah, I've been
prediction,
heard anybody, yep.
Prediction about July.
It'll probably happen
brand
this
new
month
yeah.
because the spawn's just about over. They're going to put the feed sacks back on and start getting aggressive.
We've had 100-pound-plus catfish caught in our area. In the Mississippi, Missouri River area the last couple of years in a row.
Yeah, almost
so,
every year.
Yeah, so hopefully we see another one this year.
Usually they pop one there in mid-May, early May, but I didn't hear about one this year.
Right. There was
and you would have heard about
it. There was a rumor, But that didn't materialize. Yeah, maybe July will be the month.
Yeah, I think my buddy Will caught one in the low 90s, him and Jason Matheny.
Nice. Great stuff.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, great stuff. Want to remind folks, these stories and getting this, picking up this knowledge and watching and learning from guys like Mike. We talk about our podcast. Of course, you can be subscribed, and hopefully you are, and share with anybody you think would like to hear these types of conversations and this content each and every week. The Bluff City Outdoors podcast is available on just about every podcast platform. You can also get it at the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page each and every week. And then also Mike and Gabe, who was on with us last week. Gabe Montgomery is one of our contributors to our fishing report, of course, at the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel.
Yep. He's got some great stuff. Me and him won't fish again until the fall, but he's putting a lot of that Southern Illinois stuff out there right now.
Yeah. Great.
How to catch him in the summer.
Yep. Great content.
Great one. He had a Monday Night Live with Ron DeRosa. We call him Uncle Ron. He's a guide up at Mile du Lac. Is that how you say it? Up in Minnesota.
Mile du Lac.
Yeah, it's a big smallmouth lake. But he also guides down here in Egypt. Yeah. And he had him on talking summer patterns. Yeah. So it's worth a listen.
Yeah.
For sure.
Great stuff. Two things you should definitely be subscribed to: the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel and the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast. All right, let's get you this 4th of July weekend's fishing report. We'll bring that to you here in just a moment. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk.
I just might call in, tell them that I can't get home. Does anybody else want to stay a little longer, or am I going to be alone? I ain't rich.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Working like a dog all day ain't working for me. I wish I had a rich uncle that it
could. Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Happy 4th of July weekend. I hope you are able to enjoy it. There's also supposed to be some weather around our area, whether you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday on News Talk STL. You can listen on both days, Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at noon. But it doesn't matter which day it is, there is supposed to be weather around all weekend long. Could be some bad storms at various times throughout the weekend. So just be aware while you're out there. Make sure you're prepared and keeping an eye on the forecast. And, don't get yourself caught in a bad position. Of course, we've got the fishing report coming your way here in just a minute. Hopefully, with the weather, there's going to still be plenty of time for you to get outside and do some fishing and enjoy the weekend. Also, while you're outside, you might be doing some barbecuing this weekend, as many will be around 4th of July. Make sure when you are doing that you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is a great local company, local business. Love to support that. But Rockwood has also been ranked the number one consumer-rated charcoal in the country 9 years running. So you're using the best product. You're supporting local business. You're supporting local industry. All wrapped into one. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, superior in just every way to the traditional briquettes that you may be used to. Those briquettes are formed that way for a reason. There's a bunch of filler in there and extra chemicals that don't need to be there that add weight to the bag. So you're paying for stuff that you don't even need or don't even use. And with Rockwood Lump Charcoal, all that is eliminated. You don't have to use nearly as much of it to grill as you do with the briquettes. It also burns faster. It burns hotter. It gives you more control. Like I said, it's just a superior product all the way around. So make sure the next time you are doing some grilling to have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. And you can find Rockwood in over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, that time of the week where we bring you the ever-expanding fishing report. Mark McMurray?
Yep.
Well, kick us off.
Let's get going. Mm-hmm. So first off, we're at the Truman Lake with Jordan Lair. Crappie are good. Fish 8 to 25 feet of water, 6 to 14 feet down. Fish the standing timber on the main lake flats and the brush piles. Jigs and minnows are both working. trolling 300 Bandit 300 crankbaits and number 7 flicker shad are working well on the Main Lake flats. Catfish, good, drifting Main Lake flats and humps with 8 to 20 feet of water with fresh live shad or cut bait. Black bass, good, fish the Main Lake points and brush piles, throw a half-ounce football jigs around the brush piles, 8 to 20 feet deep. Square bill crankbaits, 10-inch plastic worms, Texas rigged, and brush hogs. Topwater baits are working well in early in the morning and late in the evening, spooks, whopper ploppers, and buzz baits. Walleye is fair, fish the Main Lake humps and points, crawler harness with and trolling crankbaits are working in the shallow flats. Throwing a 3-inch pearl and chartreuse sliders on a half a quarter ounce head are also working on the humps. White bass and hybrids fish the Main Lake humps and flats with live shad on a Carolina rig, 13 to 25 feet of water. Rattle traps are also working. Topwater bite has been decent early morning and late evening with Czar spooks. And then casting Charlie Brewer's 3-inch bass sliders on a quarter ounce jig head on the flats and humps is also working well. Pearl and chartreuse. So we'll move up next to Jason Kaiser, Mark Twain Fishing Intel. Catfish, finding fish on the mud flats and just off the pole timber on channel ledges. Both areas are holding fish, but not any size to them. Cut shad is the bait of choice. Bass being caught on the Main Lake points, 10 to 15 feet of water, big worms and other plastics and jigs. And on the main big baits right now is what's working. Bass fishing is not easy at all, but there are some out there to be caught. Says you got to keep moving. Crappie are said are schooled up on the brush piles and the pole timbers at various steps right now. Both minnows and plastics are working. So don't be afraid to downsize your plastics this time of year. If it's not easy catching keeper crappie right now. You'll see a lot of smaller 6 to 8 inchers. Go out to Carlisle with Eric Moore. He's on my pro staff. Carlisle lake level is 445.02 and the water temp is 78 degrees. Said the catfish bait is on fire right now. Drifting and jugging have been working great. So the white bass are being caught, but they haven't really started their hard run yet. And crappie are very sporadic, but are aggressive when you find them, and hopefully you'll be settling into their summer pattern soon. Got the Rend Lake, Fred Mooney, he's a guide out there. Water level is 406.5. Stumps are starting to peek out of the water right now, and fishing is on fire. Crappie sets on the Main Lake are loaded with fish. Timber bite is great, too. Orange and chartreuse on a pink head was the his client's best combo throughout the week. He said, catfish is ridiculously great.
Mm-hmm.
So local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey, largemouth are biting well and very active, and they are in their summer pattern. So the crappie are biting well. It seems to that the spawn has put them a little bit behind. So crappie are settling into their summer pattern and are starting to go deeper and school up. And bluegill are biting well, and they are in their summer pattern and feeding up good after the spawn. River catfishing with Jason Schneiderhan. Water is extremely low, minus 0.2 on the St. Louis gauge. Water temperature 82 degrees. Fishing is slow to fare, but has seen a couple of decent fish get caught. Starting to see some males come off their beds. And then I put this note in here just because I know it. Skipjack fishing is slowed down, but when you find them, they're still catching them on sabiki rigs. Shelbyville, go out to Mad England. Lake level is 600.08. Water temp 74 degrees. Clarity is 12 to 18 inches. So crappie fishing on Lake Shelbyville is excellent right now. 1 to 10 feet of water. Finding the fish in 3 to 4 feet. Minnows and plastics. Need to have the bait moving. Southern Illinois Lakes, Gabe Montgomery.
A 10 horse,
yep. He said, first off, happy 4th of July to everyone. Yeah. Be safe on the water. It's extremely hot and humid. Drink as much water as you can and supplement with an electrolyte drink. Wear sunscreen, a sun hoodie, and sun gloves to minimize the damage. Kincaid, water temps are in the low 80s, 5 to 8 feet of visibility. Most lakes in southern Illinois are about a foot and a half low. So bass can be caught on deep and shallow right now. So they're being caught in less than 5 feet of water. The bass are starting to stay shallow to feed on the bluegill. The first bluegill spawn was in early May, and some of the fry are becoming a viable food source. Twitching is a Zoom super fluke, and bluegill colors is generating bites. Make sure to touch the tail up with some chartreuse spike it. So small bluegill have a splash of yellow on the tips of their tails. So look for the crappie relating to the standing timber and the deep brush. And then go out to Lake of Egypt. Water temps in the low 80s. 5 to 8 feet of visibility. Bass are deeper and the brush piles are starting to come in play. Check the Main Lake points in the first 100 yards going into the coves. Any hard cover off the bank has potential. You may find the fish. May have to fish several brush piles before you locate a hot pile. It's hard to beat a Texas rig plastic worm right now. 7-inch power worm by Berkeley and the old Zoom Old Monster. Seems like I mentioned that earlier.
Yep.
Use a quarter to half-ounce bullet weight, depending on the depth and the wind. Fall rate is very important and often overlooked variable that can make a difference. Says crappie are using the same brush piles. wonder if some of them are getting eaten by the bass.
I bet you they are. Yeah.
Crab Arch water temps are in the mid-80s, 1 to 3 feet of visibility. The hotter water, the more shallow the bass will be. A great way to catch bass on the crab in the summer is by flipping a Texas rig tube. Crocagator Bait Company makes one of the best tubes on the market. I have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter and
available
jelly with purple.
Bluff City Outdoors, all know them, yeah. Right?
Yes, yes. The BBJ with the purple is a hard-to-beat color, and black and blue. It's another great color in the crab. So the crappie will be relating to brush in 6 to 10 feet of water. And he just wanted to mention, I'll have some videos featuring some of these techniques and lakes throughout the summer. Happy 4th of July and God bless.
Mm-hmm. Lake of the Ozarks.
Lake of the Ozarks is in full-blown summer pattern. Water's in the low 80s. Visibility's still good, even though the boats are out. I'd say it's three to four feet. Same way as Truman. You can catch them, or what Gabe said too, you can catch them deep and you can catch them shallow. So either way you want to do it, get back up under those docks with a fluke. I still prefer to skip a jig because I can skip it easy. Skip a frog back underneath those docks, and they're chasing the bluegill fry up there, or go to secondary or main lake points. I prefer from 12 to 30 feet. Find those brush piles. If you got live scope, spot them, see them if they're in there. If they're not, do it old school. Same thing, a 10-inch worm, a 12-inch worm. I've even got 14-inch worms, or a half-ounce to three-quarter-ounce football jig, and drag it in there slow, and when you get it in there, leave it. Mm-hmm. Don't need to move it. Just let it sit there in the wood. Maybe hop it a little bit. Don't be anxious to get back and look at it. Let them get a good look at it. So, yeah, you can catch them either way. And, of course, top water early in the
You start to move it, just think of Mike going, leave it.
Leave it. Just think there's a 6-pounder staring at it waiting for you.
Leave it.
Thinking about eating it, and then you move it. So
it's like me with my 6-year-old in the bobber with bluegill. It'll make its first little...
Let him
twitch. Yeah, his first little twitch, and he'll want to yank it. Oh, wait.
You got to see the red go under.
Patience. Yeah.
It's got to go under, yeah. So be safe out there. It's 4th of July at Lake of the Ozarks. So.
Yeah. Before we run out of time, two things popped into my head as I was listening to the report there. One question for Mark, one question for Mike. Mark, the... lake levels, water levels in this drought that we've been in. We've been talking about this now for 2 years, essentially.
Yeah, it's been a long dry stretch.
Yeah, but it's getting it where it got a little bit better for a while there. I don't think it's as bad as it was at its worst point last year. But
yeah, but
it sounds
we're, not
like
to that,
yeah.
we're not to that part of the year yet.
Yeah, it sounds like we're heading down that road again. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, if you kind of look at this point last year, we weren't as low as we are now.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
that's right.
Because usually
that's a sign.
August and September, July, you get the thunder boomers, but, you know, you get the heat to evaporate. You're fighting evaporation.
Yeah.
And you're just not getting runoff.
Yeah.
And
particularly on the rivers, because this obviously affects the rivers a lot more than it does the lakes, especially a lake like the Ozarks.
They're not going to let it get low.
Yeah, they can control the levels there, but... For the guys fishing on the river, this has impact.
There's more stuff for you can hit.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't.
You can walk across a lot of the Merrimack now by me and Fenton.
It doesn't mean that you can't catch fish, and it doesn't even mean that it hurts your ability to catch fish. But it does have impact on
where
what you're
going.
Doing, where you're going, where you can go, and the kind of things you have to be looking out for.
You have to be conscious of it. You know, you sit there and go, okay. You know, that wing dike that, you know, was underwater, now it's, if you can see it, it gets better. But, I mean, there's some that are probably about all of them exposed on the Missouri.
Yeah, it's a good time to make mental notes of where they are, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good
Go
yeah.
out there and get you a lineup
of
a sign on the river road or whatever you're looking for.
Yeah, and it's going to get better before it gets worse. So it's just something that's really important to keep in mind. And then also, as I mentioned, there's supposed to be rain in the area throughout this weekend. Don't be silly. Don't get yourself in a bad situation in a storm. But when it comes to just rain, are you a person that likes to fish in the rain?
Absolutely. I don't like to fish in the lightning.
In that case, right? Yeah, or the hail,
or the hail,
or the wind.
Hey, if you've ever been to Lake of the, I'm sure you probably have.
I have
Lake of the Ozarks when it hails with all those docks. How loud it is! It is so crazy.
I've had the saying, any port in a storm, literally any port in a storm, pull it into somebody's dock.
Somebody's dock,
yeah, because you're out there and you can't get home in time because it's blowing in quick. But
runoff,
so don't
backs of creeks. Yeah. That's where you want to be.
Yeah, don't allow do everything you can, obviously, to not allow yourself to be in that situation. But in just the rain, what's a good tip for fishing in the rain that people can keep?
Where the water's coming in the back of a creek.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to happen until after the rain's done.
Right.
For the most part. Or, you know, if it's been raining for an hour, you know, 45 minutes in, you could probably go do that.
Does it change?
That's going to bring oxygen.
Does it change your lure approach or anything like that in the rain?
No, probably not. Probably not.
Just stick to what you're
doing. Because I fish a jig all the time. So, but it's going to be a jig or top water back there, a square bill, whatever your thing is. But those fish will, there's a lot of big culvert pipes coming off of condo parking lots at Lake of the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. Don't overlook that.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be shooting out of a retaining wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stirs up the water, stirs up the bait, gets a little more oxygen. It's cooler. Yeah,
it's cooler.
It's cooler. So
yeah.
If there's bass within range of that or crappie or whatever, they're going to congregate to that area.
Yeah. Might be some people fishing in
the fountains at Lake of the Ozarks. When people got fountains going, don't overlook that either.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because that's moving water.
Mm-hmm.
That's good oxygenation right there.
Yeah. I have a cove that I catch giants in, and it's super shallow in the back. It's 3 foot, 4 foot in the summertime, and 1 foot in the wintertime, you know, 5 foot in the summer, and whatever. But these people are real anal about keeping the leaves out of there, so they both got pumps running, and it keeps current going through there.
Yep, there you go. And that's definitely the kind of things to keep your eyes open for. All right, that's going to about do it for us this weekend. Hope everybody is able to have a great weekend and have a great 4th of July. One more reminder to make sure you're subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoor Show podcast. Don't forget about Mike and Gabe over at the 10 Horse Money YouTube channel as well. And keep up with everything that's happening out at Bluff City Outdoors. As we mentioned, not only is it a great time to stock up the tackle box, but a great time to start preparing for archery season, which, now that it's July, believe it or not, is right around the corner.
Yeah. Go practice in the air conditioning.
Yeah, so get prepared out at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's. Of course, you can follow Bluff City on Facebook and at BluffCityOutdoors.com. All right, that's going to do it for the show this week. How'd we do, Felicia? All right.
Boss is happy.
Boss is happy. Yep. I love it. For producer Leah and our guest Mike Marfell and my partner Mark McMurray, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks so much for listening to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoor Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Cool, it could buy me a boat. It could buy me a truck to pull. It can buy me a Yeti 110 ice down with some silver bullets. Yeah, and I know what they say, money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so, but it can buy me a boat.